Let us pray. Lord, indeed, please listen to your children praying. Continue to send us power, love, and grace. Speak to our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, for we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me call your attention to your worship bulletin, and our scriptorial passage for this morning is taken from the book of Proverbs. And on yesterday, I'm pretty sure you read Proverbs 9 in the 10th verse. And so we'll look at that passage again, and then also Proverbs 10, 11 through 14. Listen to these words by Solomon. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is the vial of understanding. Wise people stir up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, Words of Wisdom. Words of Wisdom. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Words of Wisdom. Let me ask you, how are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? We are now basking into the 10th day of the new year. We have 356 days left before we start a new year. What are your goals, your aspirations, your dreams that you're seeking to accomplish? I'm grateful that our choir just finished singing this hymn, Lord, listen to your children praying. It reminds me of a story as it relates to a little boy who was being overheard praying. And he said, Lord, make me a better boy this year, but if not, don't worry about it. I like the way I am today. Amen. Amen. How are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? I want to share a story with you. It occurred during the Great Depression. And it was on the property of the Yates family in Texas. He was told by the bank that he only had 30 more days and they couldn't cover him as it relates to him owning the property. And so Mr. Yates, as you can imagine, was disturbed about this news. But one day he heard a knock on the door. It was from an oil company who wanted to drill on his land. Mr. Yates used his wisdom. He said, well, I'm getting ready to lose the property anyway. It won't hurt anything. And lo and behold, they drilled on his land and hit a gusher, and it produced 80 gallons of oil a day. And he became an instant millionaire. But I want to ask you, when did Gates really become a millionaire? He was already rich and didn't even know it. Was it when the oil company drilled on his land? Or was it because he had his health and everything was going well with his family other than his financial backing at that time? As we continue to go into 2016, I want to tell you that we're already rich because the goodness of God has blessed us to experience this year. Amen. Yeah. All good and all perfect gifts come from God. And thank God, not so much of everything we're going to receive in 2016, but those things he's going to avoid happening to us because his hand is upon our lives. I don't know about you. I don't know lately where you've been, and that's entirely up to you, but I want to share with you that on Friday I had got up early in the morning and I had gone to Publix. Publix opened at 7 a.m. And there was a long line in Publix. Folks were minding their business. They weren't there to buy grocery like me. But then yesterday I had gone to the gas station early in the morning and I had to wait in line. Not because people were buying gas. There was a long line at the gas station as well. But they were minding their own business, and I was minding mine. But we do know that there's a Powerball, if you will. Now, I know you have a halo over your head and that you're saved and sanctified, and you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. But the Powerball now is $1.3 billion. How do I know that? I Googled it. And the odds of winning is 1 out of 292 million. And on CNN last night, one of the persons that were being interviewed who was waiting in line to buy his tickets, he said, if I win, I'm going to give some of the money to my church. I don't know about you, and you haven't said this, but some of you probably are saying, if I win, I'm going to help build the church on the North Campus. But if you're not really giving now, we stand our odds of you learning to give 1 out of 292 million. Amen. Yeah, you got it. In fact, I shared at the previous services when I got here this morning, I received a gift from two staff members, because I always remind them that before they spend money, that money doesn't grow on what? Tree. But look what they decided to give me this morning. A money tree. And listen well. Money tree. Considered to be a symbol of good luck and prosperity. The money tree is an easy to grow indoors tropical plant with a trunk and a large leaves. And then they share this quote by Henry Davis. Wealth is the ability to fully experience life. I think I'm going to give this to American Express when my bill comes to see if they'll take it. Amen. All right. That won't work. But, all right. In all seriousness. Today we have what is known as the financial peace class. It's going to occur in classrooms 6 and 7 at 3 p.m. And we have a donor, if you're interested, just see me after, a donor who's giving away a scholarship for a family to attend this class. It is an 8 weeks class, very exciting class. This is my second go around, not that I have to repeat performance, but it's good stuff. But it's good to know that we have people in our church who help us learn about debt reduction and to make sound financial decisions with wisdom. Amen? Because if you look at your passage for today, it deals with wisdom. It deals with wisdom. In fact, even though we deal with strife, we deal with confusion, we deal with peace, we're all seeking serenity. And it was Reinhold Niebuhr who came along and he created what is known today as the Serenity Prayer. Listen to this prayer. Maybe many of you have prayed it as well and know it, so feel free to join in. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Wow, that's a great prayer, isn't it? Wisdom. What is wisdom? I'm glad you asked. Let me help you fill in your blanks of this first question. Wisdom is often defined as the ability to make godly choices. In an important sense, wisdom is the ability to see life and the world the way God sees them. God can work in spite of the chaos, in spite of the confusion that exists in our lives, in spite of all the mess that we create. God can work something good. How do I know? Just read Genesis, the first chapter. And you'll see out of nothing, God created the universe, the heavens, and the earth. Because God can always make a way out of no way. Can I get a witness? Wisdom reminds us that wisdom shouts in the marketplace. In fact, if you have your Bibles, look at Proverbs, the first chapter, and you'll see where Proverbs describes wisdom in the feminine arena. How wisdom comes as in the word, the Greek word, Sophia. And it shouts, it speaks in the marketplace, in the concourse, in the streets, in the neighborhood. Wisdom just sounds out. And Solomon wanted wisdom. All the things he could have asked God for, he asked God for what? Wisdom. To give him wisdom. And so this book is contained in the Bible, yes, but it's also part of what is known in biblical history as wisdom literature. The book of Job, the Songs of Solomon, the Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, of course, and then some of the songs are part of what we know as wisdom literature to make us wiser. In fact, the Bible points out as it relates to three types of sinners. Three types of sinners, if you want to write it down, feel free. Wisdom speaks to three types of sinners. Number one, simple ones. Those who confess that, yes, I'm a sinner. And the next is the scornful ones, those who have a little bit more rough edges. And then lastly, fools. And that's what the Bible calls them, not me. Fools who don't acknowledge that indeed they are sinners and they have broken God's laws and commandments. But then the Bible reminds us, if you read closely, as it relates to Proverbs chapter 9 and Proverbs chapter 10, for in chapter 9 and the 10th verse, listen to these words by Solomon as he writes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Solomon, 11 times, he continued to write over and over again and shares this as the thesis of his book. Because if you look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, these same words are recorded. He's going to remind us 11 times as it relates to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Not to be frightened of God as though he is a terrorist. No, but to respect God. That's how he looks at this word fear. But to give respect to God. If you want knowledge, then seek it from God. If you want wisdom, it comes from God. There are some people who have knowledge and no experience. There are some people who have experiences, but what? No knowledge. But when you bring knowledge and experience together, you have wisdom. And that's what God desires for each and every one of us to possess. It is the wisdom from God. And in this world in which we live in, we have one category of wisdom and the other of foolishness. Wisdom speaks life. Foolishness speaks death. Wisdom reminds us of prosperity. Foolishness reminds us of destruction. Wisdom cries out in the marketplace words of encouragement, but foolishness cries out temptations and sins. God wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. Foolishness will end up in destruction and death. I want to share with you as it relates to Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and I want you to actually participate with me. I did this at the last service. That's that contemporary crowd. But you parents probably going to love this. I'm going to see if you give the same reaction that last crowd did. I want you to listen well to the Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and the first verse. Then I want you to repeat it with me, but let me read it first. Wise son, glad father. Stupid son, sad mother. Now I want you to repeat it with me. Wise son. Let's do it again. Wise son. Glad father. Stupid son. Sad mother. Boy, that's a good passage that you can share. I'm going to text that to my children when I leave here today. Right there, the Word of God. We have something to live by. But listen to these verses from Proverbs 10, 11 through 14 from the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson's Message Bible. The mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well. But the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. Hatred starts fights, but love pulls a quilt over the barking. You'll find wisdom on the lips of a person of insight. But bless you. But the short-sightedness needs a slap in the face. That's the Bible. The wise receive knowledge and a true treasure. Know-it-all talks too much and shun evil. Do you know anybody? No, don't raise your hands. Anybody who talk too much? The Bible is reminding us here to be wise, to be careful with the words that we use, not words that will stir up a fight, but words that will be encouraging, that will be helpful. Perhaps you've said this as a kid or even said now, sticks and stones might break my bone, but what? But words will never hurt. Well, we know words do hurt. But we're called to give words of encouragement. In fact, if you continue along that passage, you'll see where it says that hatred stirs up it strife. But love covers a multitude of sins. We're all sinners. Simple ones, scornful ones, or foolish. But yet, love, God's love, covers a multitude of sins. That's good news to share. That's good news to remember. That yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I thank God that He's willing to save you and me. Amen? Amen. But we must stay in line with the Word of God and what God wants for us in our lives. It reminded me, as I stated at the other services, of a CEO who was listening to an employee and listened to this dialogue. The employee came and said, I'm concerned that my personal goals are not in line with the company's strategy and goal. For example, I want to be happy. What does the company want? The boss replied, well, nothing along those lines. Most people aren't concerned about your happiness. It must come from where? From above and then within. All good and perfect gifts come from God. We can't boast or brag, but yet we can boast about the goodness of the Lord. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 30th verse. Look at these words. So that no man may boast before God. By doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in whom? The Lord. We boast in the Lord. I want to share in closing this litany from Dr. Williams. Jesus was born contrary to the law of nature. He lived in poverty, was raised in obscurity. He crossed the boundaries of his land only once. He had neither wealth nor influence, training nor education. His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential. As a baby, he startled kings. In boyhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the waters. He was able to tell the seas to go to sleep. He healed the multitude without medicine and made no charges for his services. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of the world cannot hold all the books that were written, that are written by him, about him. He never wrote a song, but yet even choirs and praise bands continues to sing his name. He never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast of having as many students as he has. He never practiced medicine, but yet he has healed more broken hearts than doctors have healed broken bones. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not subdue him. Death could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. Why? It was through it all that he learned to trust in God. He learned to depend upon God's word. For in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And we too, likewise, should stand on the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.